Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 31, text number 8. The eight little gopis, isn't it? Madhuraya gira raghu rakhyaya. Is there another meter they've been chanting to this, you know? Is there a particular meter they've been chanting for these verses? There's a particular meter, I know. What was that? Madhuraya gira raghu vakyaya. Maybe you should lead. Do you want to do it? That's good. Go on. Sweet. Gira, by your voice. Valgu, charming. Vakyaya, by your words. Buddha, to the intelligent. Mano gaya, attractive. Pushkara, lotus. Ikshana, you whose eyes. Vidi Kari, maidservants. Imaha, these. Vira, O hero. Muyati, becoming bewildered. Adhara, of your lips. Siduna, with the nectar. Apyaya yasva, please restore to life. Naha, us. Translation. O lotus-eyed one, your sweet voice and charming words, which attract the minds of the intelligent, are bewildering us more and more. Our dear hero, please revive your maidservants with the nectar of your lips. Translation responsibly. O lotus-eyed one, your sweet voice and charming words, which attract the minds of the intelligent, are bewildering us more and more. Our dear hero, please revive your maidservants with the nectar of your lips. So here the gopis speaking to Lord Sri Krishna, and they are asking that He revived his maidservants with the nectar of his lips. So the praising the very sweet voice and the charming words of Lord Sri Krishna, which attract the minds of the intelligent, and yet they are saying they are bewildering us more and more. So, the gopis are, of course, in a state of bewilderment. Krishna has done and said all sorts of things, which has, you know, they are meditating upon very, very deeply. And this, of course, is a loving exchange, which is so deep that even the gopis, who are, you know, for all purposes equals with Lord Sri Krishna, they are, you know, the depth of the loving exchanges, the words, the actions are so deep, so intricate, so subtle, so profound, that they are bewildering. They take a lot of contemplation, and cannot be understood intellectually, but due to their reciprocating with Krishna in loving moods, they can taste and relish, you know, the very mysterious words and actions of Lord Sri Krishna. So these pastimes, these actions of Krishna, these words of Krishna, are very bewildering even to the gopis. So it's very difficult, of course, for us, you know, to try and enter into, you know, exactly what is happening here. We have some understanding. Myself, I have practically none, but whatever, you know, little snippets that I can personally hear from the acharyas, such great personalities as Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, you know, the various Vaishnava acharyas and sadhus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Chaitanya Charitamrita and all his associates. You know, these eternal associates, they are relishing these pastimes, and they are illuminating, you know, various facets, various, you know, moods and understandings of these various activities. They're giving us, you know, just a taste, just a drop. This is like an ocean of nectar. It is so deep you cannot touch the bottom. This, you know, ocean of the relationship between the gopis' love is so deep you cannot reach the bottom. But as Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes, if you want to get the jewels, you have to make an endeavour, you know, to go deep, 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 deep. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates and the acharyas and the line coming down from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Prabhupada, they have given us some little drops, something that we can contemplate. Those little drops we will probably spend our entire life, and, you know, trying to fathom, you know, the depths of what Krishna is saying to the gopis, what the gopis are saying to Krishna. You know, what are they feeling? What is the mood? What is the reciprocation? What is the, you know, just that little drop that we have been given is like an ocean to us, but actually it's just a little drop in an unlimited ocean. So it's very, very mysterious. And we should spend our lives trying to, you know, unfathom that mystery. The gopis here as saying that they attract the minds of the intelligent. So, for those who generally people pride themselves with having intelligence, they always like to test their intelligence. And they like to test their intelligence, and sometimes they like to test the intelligence of others. So people do all sorts of things these days. You have little puzzles, that you try and, you got to put the shapes in certain places, you got to do it at a certain time. We have, we play chess and, try and maneuver in different ways. And, there's war strategies, the art of war. People utilize their intelligence to earn money. And for those who believe they have some intelligence, they like to test it, and they like that challenge. They like to be stimulated. They like to those who have some intelligence, if there's not stimulation, they become very bored. They they lose taste for those various activities. So these pastimes here are very, very attractive for those who, in this age of Kali, have some intelligence left. Generally, for many of us, a long life of abuse of, in Kali Yuga, intoxications and, illicit sex and, just so much foolish activities, our intelligence is being smashed to pieces, or has been smashed to pieces. And, it's having, done that to one's brain, one's intelligence, one's mental facilities, faculties, it is a great shame, because then, it is almost an impossibility to really enter into these very deep, very subtle pastimes. Therefore, in our Krishna consciousness society, of course, it is recommended that, devotees, not just devotees, but all of society, not just devotees, everyone actually is supposed to, if they want to be happy, if they want to maintain what little intelligence we're born with, because in this day and age, of course, we are born with limited facilities, physical and mental, because our parents abused their bodies and minds before we even, while we were just a twinkle in their eye, they were abusing their body and mind. And therefore, for many of us, we take birth already, there are some deficits. And what little we have, we should protect very carefully by living a very, pure and wholesome life. And that way, we will, be able to preserve some intelligence and memory. It's actually, memory is a very important part of intelligence. If one's memory is not very good, then really they cannot manifest proper intelligence. Because at every step of life, we are trying to discriminate between what is the best course of action. And for that, we usually recall on good instruction, previous experience, so many things. We need our memory, and we recall, oh, last time I did this, I suffered immensely. And so we utilize that memory coupled with our intelligence, and we think, oh, okay, I won't follow that path. Okay, so memory, intelligence, we have to protect them by living a very, very good and wholesome life. And of course, there is no more wholesome and good life than that of a Hare Krishna devotee. You will not find on this planet someone who lives a more pure, wholesome pristine life than the devotees, the Hare Krishna devotees, who, you know, on a regular daily basis make sure that, you know, all the food that they are eating is, you know, beneficial for their consciousness, and, you know, all their activities. What is Srila Prabhupada makes a statement that in order to hear Srimad Bhagavatam with rapt attention, one has to be pure in the mind. And in order to be pure in the mind, one has to be pure in one's activities. And in order to be pure in one's activities, one has to be pure in the activities of eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Like that. So, if one is not pure in those activities of eating, sleeping, mating and defending, they will, even if they get the opportunity to come to Srimad Bhagavatam class, their ability to absorb it with rapt attention is very limited. So even sometimes you see, I used to have a little saying that I made up that you can spot a devotee by two things. These days it's a lot better. Everyone. But there were two things that I could always recognise a devotee. One, they always fell asleep as soon as, you know, there was a Srimad Bhagavatam class. And two, they're always on time for prasadam. Anyway, everyone seems to be awake, so that's a good sign. But if, you know, it's very hard if one's activities are not proper, it is not possible, you know, to sit and hear attentively with rapt attention. And of course, if one cannot give rapt attention to the Srimad Bhagavatam, then it is not possible to enter into these pastimes, which are, you know, especially these pastimes here, which is the songs of separation of the gopis, greatest mystery in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, Vaishnava philosophy. One has to hear it again and again and again and discuss it, you know, with, you know, many different devotees, and meditate upon it and ponder over it for a lifetime in order to just, you know, gradually enter into, you know, just to stand on the shore of these pastimes and just dip our toes in and just taste it just a little bit. And it's so very, very deep. And that's what devotees are supposed to be doing. Here, because the gopis, they are saying to Krishna that, you know, your words are very bewildering to us. And they're actually enjoying that. There, Krishna is so expert in the art of love that he has them completely bewildered. You know, it's very enchanting. You know, it's stated in the age of Kali that even if someone is married to a prince, or, you know, someone from the member of a royal family, they will not be satisfied with that husband. Which we see, you know, sometimes, you know, personalities manage to marry into royal families, and, or, you know, very wealthy, very, very wealthy. But it doesn't matter who people are coupling up with these days, they're never satisfied. They become, you know, it becomes tiresome, you know, hackneyed, boring. They cannot keep the interest of the other partner because their ability to reciprocate in love is practically nil. There's a lot of lust and greed and envy and anger and, you know, money plays and, you know, prenuptial agreements and all sorts of, you know, there's a lot, all sorts of, you know, who will inherit what and, you know, who's going to do the dishes. There's a lot of things going on, but there's not a lot of loving reciprocation. Practically nil. Here, Krishna is so expert in his dealings, you know, with the loving the gopis, that they're just totally bewildered. You know, they just cannot keep up. Well, they can. Actually, the gopis can, because they also, as Srimati Radharani, has the ability to bewilder Krishna as well. So not just the gopis here who become bewildered, but they also are so expert that they bewilder Krishna. And they're very enchanting, very deep, very sweet, you know, loving reciprocations. So they're actually, Krishna has got them in such a state of bewilderment. And they're actually enjoying that. It's very, very relishable for them. Very relishable. And they're, you know, they're reflecting upon those, you know, many statements that Krishna has spoken to them, and sorting through the conversations that they had, which were, maybe was he present, or were we just imagining that he was present in a mood of separation? Remembering all these wonderful words of Krishna to them, and they're relishing, you know, all the various, you know, different meanings to the same statements. Krishna is so expert that he will say something, and, you know, you can take it in various different ways, each of them completely applicable. You know, and the statements stirring up, therefore stirring up various different types of emotions, and like this. So, this is the gopis are actually very, very happy to be so enchanted with the loving reciprocation with Krishna that they have been placed in this very bewildered situation. And they are asking again and again, let us hear more and more. You know, let us hear your words again. Come, you know, to us. You have disappeared, but please come back, speak more of these words, these very enchanting words, you know, in these loving reciprocations. So, that is the perfection of bewilderment. If we do not, if we do not have these spiritual emotions of spiritual bewilderment, then we will have the material emotions of material bewilderment. These pastimes are presented when Krishna and Srimati Radharani and the gopis and various inhabitants of Vrindavan present these pastimes. They achieve two purposes with the one action. By presenting these pastimes for those who are trying to get free from, you know, material lust and greed and, you know, anger and envy, they see these pastimes as a wonderful display. Here are the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual world, and he is displaying these pastimes to demonstrate to us what we can also achieve, and we can enter into those pastimes. We can go back to the spiritual world. The spiritual world is not a void. So in Krishna, in displaying these pastimes, they're showing here is God. He's a person. And he's not some, you know, old person that so eternally old that he's, you know, decrepit looking, you know, big beard, you know, and what have you. And that he's just, you know, every time you see him, he's going to sit in judgment on you. Wrong girl. What are you doing? What are you doing in heaven? Get back. You know, these pastimes are demonstrating that, you know, God is this very sweet, lovable person. He's always eager to enjoy, you know, loving pastimes with his devotees. Very eager. And He has unlimited associates who are just so wonderful. You know, who would love to meet Srimati Radharani? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes her as the rarest personality within all the material and spiritual worlds, Srimati Radharani. You know, cannot find someone so special, even amongst very exalted personalities. Imagine meeting these, you know, gopis and you know, cowherd boys and Krishna and, you know, even these cows and the peacocks and the grass and, you know, being in the spiritual world, walking along the banks of the Jamuna. It certainly beats what we're doing now in the material world. But that is why Krishna is displaying these pastimes, so that we can understand, you know, this wonderful opportunity which is being presented. Now, by the same pastimes, he actually hides his very nature. Because for those who are bewildered by lusty desires, you know, to enjoy all different sort of things in this material world, they see these pastimes and they think, oh, Krishna is just a lusty person like I am. So therefore he's not God. And therefore, you know, maybe the spiritual world is some void or something like this. So for the same pastimes, because of their lusty desires, atmavanmanyatejigat. That is the, have you heard that? Atmavanmanyatejigat. That people tend to see things from their own situation. Just like one time, I think one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, I think it was, one of the fathers, and she was saying, you know, oh, Srila Prabhupada, you know, I think you look very tired. Srila Prabhupada said, I think you are very tired. So when, you know, when one has a particular sort of condition, they're seeing everyone in the same way. So, you know, when a person is very lusty in this material world and they see the activities of Krishna, then they just think, well, he is an ordinary person, an ordinary lusty person. So they see these pastimes, and therefore these pastimes hide the very, you know, nature of the personality of Godhead. Instead of them seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they see a lusty person, you know, the lusty person in the material world. Okay. So, therefore, as we described, it's very important that we allow our intelligence to come out from under the cloud of lusty desires, in order that we can actually, you know, perceive and taste these pastimes. And then it reveals the spiritual world. So if we are all these wonderful spiritual emotions, if we are not tasting them on this spiritual platform, relishing Srimad Bhagavatam and you know, living Srimad Bhagavatam. Living Srimad Bhagavatam means to live in the association of the devotees. If we're living in the association of devotees, we get, Krishna arranges many activities between the devotees and with the spiritual master, and also with the Lord himself, in the service that we do for him, and in our service towards the conditioned souls, you know, trying to liberate the conditioned souls. He arranges many, many different activities in such a way that he allows us. Sometimes we cannot understand certain aspects of Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, intellectually, but somehow Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, arranges out devotional life in such a way that just all of a sudden the penny drops and we get some little taste, something that, you know, that happens to us, and it reminds, oh, that's, you know, now I get a little glimpse into this pastime. So, you know, by serving and living in the association of the Vaishnavas, we can actually, you know, by Krishna's grace, Lord Chaitanya's grace, we can taste, you know, just these pastimes more and more. And the more we become absorbed in devotional service very purely, and the more we're relishing these different pastimes, the more Krishna will arrange for us to understand and taste these various spiritual emotions. So that our whole consciousness from morning till night is filled with spiritual emotions, following in the footsteps of these associates of Vrindavan. Not artificially imitating, we're performing our various services. We're not all trying to dress up as Lalita and Vishakha and I am Arjun. We're not trying to imitate them. We walk around with a bow and arrow and like that. We don't imitate Krishna in his path, but we should follow in their footsteps and try to think like a devotee. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati has one statement where he's saying that we should desist from our activities of trying to imitate advanced devotees, imitate their activities, but instead we should try to imbibe the consciousness of pure devotees. That's what we should be doing. Trying to not to imitate them, to walk around, fancy chadars and, somehow looking like, a big devotee. But we should actually be trying to think like a devotee, have that consciousness from morning to night, and gradually that consciousness in the course of, one's devotional life manifests as just, all these wonderful, very relishable spiritual emotions, which have nothing to do with these material worlds. They're in relationship with the Supreme Lord, who resides within his own abode and is also sitting within the heart, and in relationship to the devotees of the Lord. Here, the gopis are speaking these words to Krishna. In the Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada says, at the end of the previous chapter, Srila Prabhupada says that perhaps Krishna was standing nearby watching the gopis and relishing their mood of separation. And many of the acharyas, of course, including Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they actually have this the comment, they make that comment that Krishna is actually there with the gopis. So although they are there on the bank of the Jamuna feeling great separation, Krishna is actually there. They cannot see him, but he is hearing all the acharyas also go on to describe that as they're saying statements like this, that Krishna is actually giving responses which they may or may not be hearing. So they have this mood of separation, and it is similar, that mood of separation, that Krishna is actually with us. We cannot see him, we want to be with him, but factually he is there, he is right there, right here. Although Krishna resides in his own, in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita describes that, although Krishna resides in his own planet, Goloka Vrindavan, he performs these wonderful pastimes, at the same time he is everywhere, all pervading. And at the very same time he is situated within the heart of all living entities. This is the mystery that is not understood. The people perceive these pastimes and they seeing themselves as Atmavan Manyate Jagat, I cannot be everywhere at once, therefore Krishna cannot be everywhere at once. That is how we think, that is it's not a very intelligent way to think, but that's exactly why people cannot accept these pastimes of Krishna. They cannot accept Krishna as God. I cannot do these things, how can someone else do them? How can Krishna be performing these pastimes? How can he be living in the spiritual world, situated within the heart of every living entity and spread throughout everywhere? He can hear everything that is going on within all material and spiritual creation. He can see everything. He's right with us at every... Although he's far, far away, he's also very near to everyone. That is inconceivable, but that's what he does. But because I cannot do it, then Krishna cannot do it and no one can do it. So, but factually, that is Krishna's, that is his nature. That he's actually right here with us throughout our entire devotional life, personally reciprocating, watching our every move. Actually, it's a little scary when you think about that. You know, there's one slope in the Bhagavad Gita that, one who sees the Supreme Lord everywhere does not degrade himself by the mind. You know, sometimes, in this world people think, no one can see my activities. You know, when I'm with the devotees, I'll be very, proper in my behavior. But now, no one can see me and I will do something not very good. But, that is a lack of Krishna consciousness, because if there is Krishna consciousness, they will understand that Krishna can see everything that we do at every single moment. And when we reciprocate with Krishna on that platform that, yes, you are here, you can hear my prayers, you can reciprocate with my devotional activities, then we, that spiritual consciousness, we can manifest, we can taste various spiritual emotions. So, and if we don't have that Krishna consciousness, then we will have all sorts of material emotions. And we will be completely bewildered by the material energy. One may, look at the gopis here and say, well, they are bewildered. I am bewildered. What is the difference? I take my intoxication, become bewildered. I'm bewildered by, the material energy. I am looking at, bags of stool and seeing them as, beauty models. As you get a bag of stool and, you go down to the toilet and get a bag of stool and put in lipstick and eyeshadow, what have you, dress it up. It's very difficult to have a relationship, but that's what we do. That we are when we actually look at our activities in this world, we are very bewildered, at every step. But that sort of bewilderment is very degrading. If we look at the bewilderment of the living entities in the material world, material bewilderment, they become very, very degraded and very foolish. When we see the activities of the worldly people in the material world, their activities are embarrassing. But here, the gopis, their bewilderment, what is their bewilderment? Their bewilderment is that they have no attachment to even the slightest concept of personal enjoyment just does not enter their hearts. Their very bodies are composed of pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And their only consciousness is simply how to please Krishna. There is never any actions performed for sense gratification. They never perform any degrading activities. Everything is done out of pure love for the pleasure of Lord Sri Krishna. And that. So, but if we do not enter into these spiritual emotions, then we will have to become bewildered in the material world. And that is a very degrading and foolish position for us to be in. And it is these pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna that are our saving grace. So, one or another, we are living entities and we are very, very tiny. We either come under the, you know, control of the material energy, which is extremely powerful and extremely bewildering, or we come under the control of the spiritual energy, which is also extremely powerful and extremely bewildering, but in a very wonderful way. Rather, we should be, you know, bewildered by the very loving words and actions in our relationship with the Supreme Lord than bewildered by the material energy. So our position can be very, very precarious, and therefore we should be very careful to just follow the steps of Srila Prabhupada and you know, those who follow our, you know, spiritual masters and Srila Prabhupada, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Following the footsteps of the devotees, following the footsteps of just the average devotee in the temple. You know, if you just do what the average devotee in the temple does, you know, well situated, generally, you know, serving their spiritual master, associating, taking prasad, chanting 16 rounds, you become protected from the material energy. Very safe position. Srila Prabhupada gave us, you know, activities to perform practically at every moment of the day. We can chant 16 rounds. We eat Krishna prasadam. We you know, read Srimad Bhagavatam, these various texts. We associate with Vaishnavas. We, you know, rise from Mangalati. We worship the deities, and we take up some particular service whereby we can, you know, dovetail our natural propensities in such a way that we can always be busy in the service of Krishna 24 hours a day, and we don't take intoxication, we don't have illicit sex, we don't gamble, we don't eat meat, we don't commit the 10 offences, and if we just follow this program chalked out, we'll never become bewildered. And as soon as we step outside of that shelter of those instructions, ultimately coming down to himself, all those activities are stemming from the instructions, words of Lord Sri Krishna himself. That path that was just chalked out there, the path that was chalked out by Srila Prabhupada, ultimately that was spoken by Krishna, is what he is saying to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, what he is saying to Uddhava and the gopis in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Same activities presented on various levels to various bhaktas, but originally Krishna is speaking. So if we don't want to be, if we want to be safe, then we just follow those various activities. And as soon as we step out of those activities, immediately we will be bewildered by, you know, the material energy. If we become bewildered, will become degraded, suffer in the material world. So there is a vast distinction between the activities here of the gopis who are praying to Krishna to be bewildered more and more, and the activities of the conditioned souls who are also praying, you know, let me become bewildered more and more, you know, by my intoxication, by my, you know, unwholesome activities which are destroying my brain substance. So, does anyone have any questions or comments about